She was known as a phenomenal person, the best mom to her six kids, and the kind of wife who stuck by her husband through thick and thin. But as these things so often go, his side piece and his gambling addiction became too tempting. This is the story of James Craig, the Colorado dentist who poisoned his wife's protein shakes. Hi friends, I'm Katie, and this is Katie Does Crime. Thank you for joining me for the first time if you're new here, and hello to the usual rapscallions and reprobates. Please consider subscribing or joining me on Patreon if you'd like to hear more true crime stories. Today's case was recommended to me by Stuck in Kiev, whom I hope is not actually stuck in Kiev at the moment. It reminded me of the hot Drano lemonade case, which you know I had fun with, but this one has a much more tragic ending. On March 15, 2023, 45-year-old dentist James Tolliver Craig met his wife at the hospital. The Aurora, Colorado woman had been experiencing weird symptoms for over a week, but doctors couldn't make sense of them. She was known for getting sinus infections, but this was something different, something worse. This day, her brother brought her back to the hospital again because of dizziness and a debilitating headache. A few hours later, she had a seizure that landed her in the ICU, and then it was all downhill for the 43-year-old. She was placed on a ventilator at first, and then on Saturday, March 18th, Angela Prey Craig was declared brain dead. Hospital staff had no idea what could have caused all of this. 4 days later, Angela was taken off of life support, and that's when authorities went to work on a warrant and arrested James. He was charged with first-degree murder. At first, no one could name a motive. James had graduated from Brigham Young University and the University of Missouri School of Dentistry and was a successful partner in a dental group. He was making upwards of $778,000 a year. He volunteered at a local food bank, and patients called him kind and pleasant.
My name is Dr. Jim Craig, and I practice at Summerbrook Dental Group. I went to dental school at the University of Missouri at Kansas City from 2002 to 2006. I also taught dental classes at that same university for 3 years. And immediately afterward, I came out to this practice, and I've been practicing here since 2006. My approach to dentistry begins with sincerely listening to the patient and wanting to find out more about where they're coming from and what they're looking for and what they want. I also have a very strong philosophy that a happy team makes happy patients. And we have such a wonderful team here at Summerbrook. There's really no weak links. And I love hearing patients talk to me about how the positive interactions with my staff have affected their comfort level at the office. That's one of the hallmarks of Summerbrook Dental, is that we try to be happy here.
Angela was known to be outgoing and the best mother you could imagine. She took the family on trips to Disney World, and they all loved doing outdoor activities together. James and Angela had been married for more than 20 years and were raising six beautiful children together in their million-dollar home. The house was apparently so new that Google Maps just shows an empty lot. But as they usually do in these types of cases, the cracks in their happy life eventually began to show. The day after Angela was admitted to the hospital, James texted his business partner and the partner's wife to let them know what was happening. He said, "If it wasn't my wife, this would be kind of a fun puzzle to try to work out." This partner immediately came to the hospital and told a nurse that he suspected Angela had been poisoned. The business partner and James went way back, over 20 years to when they were learning dentistry in school together. Just a few months back, he had heard that James's dental group was struggling and that James might need to file for bankruptcy. This would be James' second time doing so. So this guy took over the practice while James continued to work there. The thing that made this business partner suspicious about a possible poisoning was that an office manager at the practice had relayed an interesting tidbit of information the day that James texted about Angela being in the hospital. Back on March 6th, the office manager had been working late when James came back to work. She saw him in one of their exam rooms on a computer, which seemed weird to her. One, because he had the lights off. Two, because he had an office with his own computer. And three, because he also had a laptop that he would carry from home to work. No need to sit in a random dark exam room. Later that night, James texted this office manager and said he'd shipped a personal package to the practice and that she shouldn't open it. Not suspicious at all, James. Well, the package arrived about a week later, 2 days before James's wife would wind up in the hospital. Certainly enough time to forget that she was supposed to be sure not to open this highly suspicious package. Well, it turns out that someone else had opened it anyway. But not remembering the whole "don't open my package" situation, the office manager innocently looked inside and saw a canister that said potassium cyanide. There was also a biohazard sticker. Realizing that this was the package she wasn't supposed to see, she resealed the box and gave it to James. But of course, she Googled what potassium cyanide is. It's a colorless crystal that looks like sugar and dissolves easily in water. To many people, it smells like bitter almonds, but not everyone can smell it. It has innocent uses, like in wet plate photography and in plating gold jewelry, but it was more famously used at Jonestown to poison the followers of cult leader Jim Jones. Apparently, it keeps your organs from being able to use the oxygen in your blood, causing victims to go red in the face before they go unconscious and lose brain function. This can happen within moments of swallowing the cyanide, and it only takes about 140 milligrams to kill a person, a really small amount. And now I have also Googled potassium cyanide, so the authorities will be knocking on my door any minute now. Anyway, when this office manager heard that Angela was in the hospital and her brain was shutting down, she put two and two together and called the business partner. So the business partner pulled one of the nurses aside and relayed this information. James was busy crying after a meeting with Angela's doctors, but the business partner had his doubts about the authenticity of those tears. Later, James dialed up his business partner and called him out on telling the nurse some disturbing information. His partner admitted that, yes, he had talked to the nurse about what was in the personal package that came to the dental office. James said that it was merely a gift for Angela, a surprise for his darling wife, and anyway, there's no way anyone could have known what was in the package because it was sealed. His partner had to break it to him that the package had been opened. James backtracked and said, okay, sure, he had ordered cyanide, but Angela had asked for it. From what I gather, he was trying to make it sound like she wanted to end her life, and he bought it for her because he knew that she wouldn't actually go through with her plan. James said it was like a game of chicken. His partner kindly told him to shut up and get a lawyer. Authorities questioned the office manager, who said that on March 6th, the first time Angela experienced weird symptoms, she heard Angela had been working out. James made her a protein shake to enjoy during the workout, with extra caffeine and B vitamins because she was feeling sluggish. In a text message to him, Angela thanked him for the drink and said, "I just love you." But in subsequent texts, she complained about feeling funny. She literally said, "I feel drugged." And James responded with such concern, saying he was going to come home and care for her. Angela eventually went to the hospital because she was so weak and dizzy, constantly throwing up. The office manager found it odd that James would casually ask her about business while his wife was in the hospital. Like, "I'm not sure Angela's going to make it, and also, did Mrs. Cole pay her bill?" She also knew that James and Angela were having trouble in their marriage, and that Angela wanted a divorce. When the police questioned James about this, he said that Angela had thoughts of taking her own life, and had for a while. He claimed he'd asked for a divorce in December of 2022, which made her depressed and caused her to attempt overdoses of opioids. But he never bothered to report it. He just revived her and pretended like nothing happened. He said this is why when her toxicology report came back, it would be positive for some substances. How convenient. The caseworker from Child Protective Services says that none of the six children so much as mentioned depression, and she felt like James was working on his cover story. When the police executed search warrants on James's home and office, they found that the computer in the exam room where James had been typing that night with the lights off had a very telling search history. Someone had watched a video called "Top 5 Undetectable Poisons That Show No Signs of Foul Play." It recommended cyanide and arsenic, and said that arsenic is virtually undetectable and is used in murder and mystery. Then a search was conducted for how many grams of pure arsenic will kill a human and is arsenic detectable in autopsy. A user named Jim and Waffles had started placing Amazon orders for poison as far back as February 27th. It turns out 10 grams of arsenic costs all of $13. Now, while authorities were rooting around in James's email, they also found that James had a mistress. That's right, two women were into this guy. James told his business partner in January that he and Angela were having problems in their marriage, but it turns out it went a lot deeper than that. This woman was an orthodontist in Texas, and it turns out that while his wife was busy dying in the hospital, James had been sexting her. Well, not sexting, they were emails. Do we have a word for sexual emails? C-mails? Anyway, James flew his mistress into Colorado while his wife was on her deathbed. Like, while Angela was in the hospital one of those initial times for dizziness and weakness, Dr. Karen was visiting James. And the day after Angela went into the ICU for the final time, Dr. Karen flew to visit James again. It appears from the timeline that James would fly Dr. Karen in, and his wife would conveniently end up in the hospital the next day. One of the flights was purchased the same day the arsenic order arrived. In a super gross email, Karen writes to James that she's sad to not be a bigger part of his life when he's going through this trying time, how hard it must be for him and the kids. She says, "I do want to give you any comfort I can, but I do not feel it is right for me to mix in with all of those gathering to mourn Angela either, and I do not want to meet your family as a friend and try to conceal what I feel for you." Wow, Karen, how kind of you. Dr. Karen, of course, was also married. But apparently this was pretty typical for James. He allegedly cheated on Angela early and often and said he had an addiction to lewd images from the time he was a teenager. And oh, get this, he also drugged Angela 5 or 6 years before he killed her. Angela told her sister that James once gave her a dose of a lethal drug because he planned to end his own life with the same drug and didn't want her stopping him. So now one of Angela's texts to James makes more sense. The day he made her workout shake and she said she felt drugged, she really knew what drugging feels like. And this is why James texted back, "Given our history, I know this must be triggering. Just for the record, I didn't drug you." The local news story where he talks about giving out free sedatives to his patients suddenly seems a lot more threatening.
We have so many fearful patients that we actually have developed a free level of sedation for some of our patients. Patients can take a mild pill and have laughing gas free of charge if they're afraid, because we have so many who are in that category. I just don't feel right.
Just a mild sedative. Mild sedative. Awake, and then they can have laughing gas. Yep. But then you can put people out for more serious procedures.
We
they wake up and it's done.
Yeah, we can.
Angela told her sister that she'd been trying to leave James for 16 years, but that he always somehow won her back. But I think the final straw in their relationship was his crippling debt. Before he declared bankruptcy in 2021 and sold his dental practice, James had over $2 million in personal debt, and the practice itself was losing money. He had problems with gambling and had apparently lost too much in the cryptocurrency downturn. And wouldn't you know, his wife Angela had 3 life insurance policies. The more you find out about this guy, the worse it looks for him. After Googling for poisonous plants, he also ordered some oleander. And when the company James was trying to buy the cyanide from said they would need a statement declaring what he'd be using it for, he said he's a surgeon who would be performing a craniofacial reconstruction. And he didn't stop there. He went on to describe how he would complete the procedure and said that if he was successful, his technique would be published in a paper. I know they always say that giving away too much information makes you look guiltier, but I'm a little impressed with how much detail he was able to muster for this lie. He also told Angela's sister that he wouldn't let an autopsy happen because if doctors couldn't figure out what was wrong with Angela when she was alive, he certainly wasn't going to let them poke and prod her when she was dead. One patient said his dental work and mannerism were top-notch, although it is pretty disturbing considering he was inside my mouth while he was allegedly poisoning his wife to death. And it really makes you sick to hear how Angela had stuck by him through the worst times. A family friend said that she would even work at the dental office to help out when the practice wasn't doing well. Now his practice is officially closed. James has so far had one court hearing where he showed up in an orange jumpsuit with his head hanging down in seeming embarrassment. He didn't say anything to the court, but tried to make eye contact with his children, who were watching from the back row. Some of them are adults now, and some of them are living with an uncle. The investigation is ongoing as we wait on the toxicology report, and the prosecutor says more charges may arise as more evidence surfaces. James Craig's next evidentiary hearing is scheduled for June 2nd. There's a GoFundMe for the Craig children that's so far raised over $68,000. The local police chief called this a heinous, complex, and calculated murder. On its face, this seems like another case of a cheater who dreamed of escaping to be with his mistress with the help of his wife's life insurance. But I'd love to know your thoughts on this guy. Thank you for tuning into my podcast episode. I'm just a true crime fan like you are, and I really appreciate you taking a chance on me. Please subscribe and tell a friend if you like spending this time together. You can also find me on YouTube in the flesh by searching Katie Does Crime.